This is Savages in the Box.
I want you to feel us.
Now here's Chris Carlin.
Well, that was freaking bizarre. I mean, what an absurd weekend on so many fronts. For the Yankees, for the Mets for that matter, but really for the Yankees, after what looked like it was going to be the ugliest of ugly weekends, a weekend in which you could potentially not just get swept in a five-game series over 2 days, but once you even got a win on Saturday and the way in which it came and you fall behind, you're 7-2 down to your final out. And you come back and score five runs in the first game of a doubleheader, and you end up taking the last three of a series. Just bizarre on so many fronts. It is Savages in the Box. This is Chris Carlin. So let's get to some of the aspects of this weekend that were just out there and what you truly take out of it. And the first thing I truly take out of it is that as much as you want to believe that you're going to be able to take this and turn it into some momentum and move it forward, I'm not quite there yet. Because, you know, you have three wins in a row like this. Sometimes when you're able to get them in just bizarre fashion, and you get things to break the right way when you desperately need them to, well, that can get an entire situation turned around for you. And we know what happened Friday night. We know how bad they had been, having lost seven in a row going into Saturday. But think about Saturday for a second. I mean, you go into that game, you can't get a hit to save your life. You go into that last inning, you have an opportunity to either hit with runners on base, Eric Kratz, who is a 41-year-old backup catcher, 40 years old. I don't want to cheat him out of a year. Or Gary Sanchez, who is supposed to be one of the rocks upon which your franchise is built. And you don't pinch hit Sanchez and you let Kratz go out there to just bunt. And after the game, the manager says, well, I really like the matchup more than anything. The matchup? The matchup? I mean, Kratz was there to just move the runners along. And as we know, Betances ends up throwing a wild pitch and basically throwing it into the broadcast booth, and the Yankees win in bizarre fashion. But you're so down on how Sanchez is hitting and the lack of consistency that he just continues to display, that you're willing to let Eric Kratz go up there and bunt as opposed to letting Sanchez hit in that spot. That's unbelievable. But nonetheless, you get the win in a very strange fashion. You move to Sunday. You need a bunch of weird things to happen. I mean, before the inning, before the seventh inning, down 7-2, David Cone, Michael Kay, Paul O'Neill are all talking about whether or not Aaron Boone needs to have a team meeting in between games. That's how bad things had gotten for the Yankees. And then you have just strange things happen. Jared Hughes can't get outs. Jared Hughes for the Mets walks Tyler Wade. I mean, Tyro Estrada nearly ran the Yankees out of the inning by trying to take third base in a situation where he didn't need to against a right fielder who's got a pretty good arm. And then enter Edwin Diaz, the human flamethrower, and not because he throws the ball 97 miles an hour, and that is the equivalent of seeing Santa Claus show up on, well, August 30th. So the Yankees win that game. And then they come back and they win the nightcap because Davy Garcia is so good in his major league debut. And Gary Sanchez, who a day earlier you didn't want to turn to in favor of Eric Kratz, well, in this case, because the bases are loaded and because you can't bunt in this situation, you actually put the bat in his hands and he rips a grand slam and hits it 453 feet. I'll tell you, there are times in sports where just a confluence of events can change the fortunes of a team. And when I look at the last couple of days, I would normally feel like this is a confluence of events that is going to change things for the Yankees. And yet, I don't really feel that way. And I think the primary reason is that right now, the team that they are putting on the field is not good enough. It's simply not good enough. Let's talk about a couple of the particular issues, okay? Obviously, we know the injuries are a problem. We'll get to that at some point here. Obviously, we know the injuries are a problem. That's a given. They're not as good of a team. The depth is good, but it's not this off-the-charts depth that can maintain a particular level of play when they lose four and five guys. These are all things we know. But with Sanchez in particular, as much as I want to think that Sunday's Grand Slam snaps him out of it, I don't buy it. I've seen too many other times with Sanchez where he will come through with a big home run where you don't necessarily expect it. And you think, all right, here we go. This is going to be it. This is going to get him turned around. And it hasn't happened. Why? This is just not a consistent player at the plate. This is just not somebody that goes to the plate with a consistent amount of confidence, frankly. You know, you see him hit that home run and tosses the bat and enjoys every bit of it. And considering how things have gone, he absolutely should. But at the same time, I see him other times and you see that his timing is off. He's fouling off some fastballs that he should be hitting harder. And that happened in the at bat and he got his timing back. But when his fastball or when his timing has been off, it has translated into him really expanding the strike zone and really chasing pitches that he shouldn't. And that's where you get the ultimate bad Gary Sanchez. He's still hitting a .134. He is capable of going on a hot streak. But the only way that Gary Sanchez is capable of going on a hot streak is if he can just lay off the bad stuff. And he's never shown a penchant to be able to really do that consistently. He's going to run into these kind of home runs sometimes. Drew Smith threw him a belt-high fastball. If you're Gary Sanchez and you don't put that in the seats, something's wrong. I'm not knocking him. Don't get me wrong. I just don't believe that he is a consistent enough player where you're going to be able to take him and out of a situation like this, get things turned around. Let's listen to the manager on Sanchez. And when you're struggling and you're going into an at-bat like that, the answer is going to be what you would expect it to be.
Look, anytime it's been a struggle, and we've all kind of been there, you want to get some results. You want to come through in a big spot in the worst kind of way. And sometimes you got to back off a little bit and just really focus on having good at-bats and winning pitches. And he went up there tonight and had a great at-bat and was able to finish it off. So I'm excited for him. You know, he means so much to this team. I know how much he cares. And so I am happy for him to really take the air out of one.
So for his sake, you hope that that's the case. And you would expect a manager to say all those right things. But I'm not buying it yet. It's one of those cases where, unfortunately for Sanchez, as much as everybody has wanted him to be that guy who is a consistent player, he just has never shown it, so there's not a reason to believe that that's all of a sudden going to come out of one big at-bat against the Mets on a Sunday afternoon. It might. I'm not counting on it. Number two, I look at the Yankees, and doesn't it feel like in any moment they are just teetering? They are on the brink of disaster. And not just on the brink. It's not like the crescendo of an action movie where it's all got the possibility of going to falling apart and being a nightmare and everybody dies. But no, at the end, somehow somebody rescues them. Are you still confident that somebody's going to rescue the Yankees? I mean, the trade deadline is later on today, but I don't look at anyone and think they're going to be able to rescue the Yankees other than maybe somebody like DJ LeMahieu. And I think the way things are currently constructed, even though Voit's going as good as he is, I just don't necessarily believe that he's going to get enough opportunities to do that when you have to play the likes of Gardner a lot and the likes of Tyro Estrada and Tyler Wade. Even Urshela, who had the game-winning hit, I'm still not feeling great about him. Urshela's a good player when you surround him with great players. Urshela is not a good player really on his own all that much. So there's nothing about it that gives me great confidence to think the hero is going to show up and pull the Yankees out of the fire when they are teetering on the brink. Don't get me wrong, that's not where they are yet. But don't rule out the possibility that if things don't go right, they actually may not make the playoffs. It's not all that kind of a lock. And listen, I know it's semi-crazy talk in some ways, but if you really look at it and they're not playing better and they don't have most of their guys back the way they were constructed, it's easy that they could be on the outside looking in. Right now, they are only three games in front of the Detroit Tigers, who are in the number nine slot. The Yankees are currently in the number five slot. So just be careful here. And when you have a real problem like you do with this week, that's where the stopper has to show up. The Rays are coming in. Since that first series against the Yankees that started back on Friday night, August the 7th, that game, that began a run for the Rays where they are 18-4 since. And that includes wins in six out of seven games against the Yankees. Think about this. They have gotten absolutely pounded with injuries with their pitchers right now. And they are still somehow managing to reel off wins because they're scoring runs. They've been absolutely fantastic in that. So now they have Tyler Glasnow in game one. It could be Charlie Morton, who has been on the 10-day IL and could be back either Tuesday or Wednesday, going in either of those two games. And the Yankees in game one have Gerrit Cole. Can we be honest with ourselves about Gerrit Cole for a moment? He has not been what you paid for. He's been good, but this is another one of those starts. Last time, you were looking for Gerrit Cole to stop the losing streak. That didn't happen. This time, you're looking for Gerrit Cole to give you a reason to believe that you can beat the Tampa Rays, which right now you don't really have. So he has to go out there and pitch exceptionally well against them. And if we're being frank about it, he's been okay in his two starts. He has not been the superstar ace that everybody expected. And what do you expect in a game like this later on tonight? You expect seven shutout innings. Is that too much to ask in any of these outings for Gerrit Cole? Because we haven't seen it yet. He's been a guy that has given them a chance to win. He's pitched a couple of times really well. Very good. He has not been great. And that's just fact. So Gerrit Cole is the key. If you want to start to believe that the Yankees are really going to put it back together, he has to win later on tonight. He has to win later on tonight. It's not just go out and pitch well and give him a chance. No, it's shut the door. It is shut the door on the Tampa Rays. Show why they brought you here. You know, a few times after these starts, you hear him talk about how, and he always uses we, you know, we were pretty good, we were decent, I felt pretty good about this and that, and he's given up 10 home runs so far this year. That's not good enough. That is not good enough. It's got to be better. Go dominate tonight. Now, we don't know what's going to happen by the trade deadline. Now, some things have already happened, and the Yankees mysteriously have not really been, as of the taping of this podcast, a central figure in a lot of the trade talks. I think where you really have to focus your attention is Texas with Lance Lynn and with Joey Gallo. Think about Joey Gallo for a second. Joey Gallo is a left-handed power bat who can play the outfield and can play the corner infield positions if you need him to. And he is under control for the next two seasons beyond 2020. He has only hit 183 so far this year, but he's got 7 home runs and 16 runs batted in. This is not somebody who is ever going to really hit consistently for average, but he is capable of hitting 40 home runs. He is capable of being someone that can really help you. And I think Joey Gallo is somebody that you might keep an eye on. More likely, though, as far as the pitchers, Lance Lynn. Texas is said to be asking for a lot right now. We'll see what that looks like come 4 o'clock later on this afternoon. Those would be the two guys I think you realistically have a chance to end up landing who could really help. All right, that does it for this edition of Savages in the Box. If we get any new information, we will, of course, update it, and we will, of course, give you even an emergency version if we need to. Otherwise, Yankees Rays later tonight. We will see you tomorrow morning. Carlin out.
Savages in the Box is available on the ESPN app and from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.